Jeffy.
Hey. Morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I am well.
Good. Good. We were just discussing the extremely hot week we're having.
Indeed.
Yes. Hope you're able to stay cool somehow.
So far.
Good.
So far.
Good, good, good.
My exposure outside.
Good, yeah. Yeah. We are, some of us are lucky we can do that. And yeah, we were just talking about our parking service agents and, you know, showing our appreciation for them for working outdoors and taking care of them, providing all the necessary information, tools, resources we can give them. And, you know, just making sure they're aware of our heat illness prevention plan. The city does have an ordinance about heat illness, and we have to follow that. That came into effect last year, or at least a revised version. Maybe we had one before, but they revised it last year. So we have to make sure we follow that.
Right.
So we were saying, Jill doesn't count against the attendance today, because I believe she's off the she has resigned from the commission. So we're just missing Jim right now.
Which makes two of the three.
Right, that's absolutely right. Yeah, so we technically do have a quorum.
Technicalities are good. Let's call us to order.
Put the agenda up on the screen here. Okay.
Janine and I are here for the roll call.
All right. Sounds good. We got Janine and Jeffrey and no Joe. Of course, I know Jim.
I have no report, so is there any audience? I don't see any. Which brings it to you.
All right. Thank you, sir. I will just go through a couple items here for my short report for parking service agent staffing. We're currently at 5 parking service agents out of 11. We are hiring. We just closed the recruitment for the parking service agents. We're next going to conduct a review of the applications, resumes, get that down to a short list. I'm going to check to see how many applications we received. JR, I'm not sure if you have an updated number. I know right away when we issued it, we had 12 applicants right away. And I'm sure we have more than that by now. We'll then schedule interviews within 2 weeks, and then hire and onboard hopefully within 4 weeks. So by mid-July, we hope to have hire 3 additional parking service agents with this recruitment. And as you know, the activity does decrease a little bit during the summer. It's going to give our parking service agents time to catch up on a few items such as sign repairs, sign installations, and a few other things that, you know, tend to get a little overlooked during the busy time of the year. No questions about our staffing regarding the upcoming special events. I'm just going to hone in on the 4th of July. A celebration coming up July 4th, and I'm just going to show an example of a page that we've done in the past. This page is from last year, so this is not current information. I just wanted to show an example of what we are going to create probably within the next week here. This city does host a 4th of July event at A Mountain beginning at 9 p.m. There is usually a few sponsors. I don't know who the sponsors are this year. So viewing the show, Generally, the convention center opens their parking lots and allows for visitors to kind of hang out starting at 4 o'clock with food trucks, kind of a tailgate atmosphere. And the along with unofficial parking locations, which I have to let you know, the police and DTM have been, you know, approached by surrounding neighborhoods with parking concerns. They do pop up for this event. And around a mountain to the north and east, road closures may be in effect for, my understanding, the first time, or at least the first time in a while, where we're working with the neighborhoods to pick certain locations in the residential areas, you know, near a mountain, Menlo Park, Barrio Sin Nombre, to restrict to local traffic only. So we have heard that from the neighborhoods. They've been vocal about it recently. So looking at the parking map, Convention Center does provide some parking. We're still waiting on Mercado to let us know what they're going to do. Last year they did have parking options where they sold parking in the Mercado area. And what Park Tucson does is we open our City State garage, which is a multi-story garage with a really good view of a mountain and the fireworks. So we put the gates open. It's a free entrance into the City State garage. We'll provide security from about 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. and then do a sweep of it and try to get everybody out. We do not allow tailgating activities. We don't allow, alcohol and drugs and guns and all that stuff. And we have security there doing patrols. So last year it went off without a hitch. I want to say there was probably, 30, 40 cars that came up to City State Garage. So that's how we're going to provide some help during there. Oh, and there are, so road closures do protect a mountain. That's always been in effect. What the new ones I was talking about was kind of deeper into the neighborhoods. So a mountain does have road closures to allow only city staff, police, fire, and that sort to get up there. Give some guidance and transit info. Promotes the Sunlink streetcar so you don't have to bring your car to the downtown area to watch it. And that's pretty much it for the 4th of July. Just have to talk with Mercado about their parking options and get this website published. And I'll take any questions.
And for me, that's good.
Me, I'm good.
Okay, I guess I'll move on to the next topic, which is, here's the Menlo. I want to talk about Menlo Park, let me get to that. So the next topic is Menlo Park and Barrio Sin Nombre neighborhood Mercado area development and neighborhood parking program, as well as the individual parking plans for the developments. So I will first bring up the map and just get us acquainted again with the area. So here we are at the Mercado area, just west of the I-10 and Congress. As you know, several developments have already been completed at the Mercado area. The Mercado San Agustin, the Safe Kitchen, the restaurants and businesses at the bottom floor of the Monier apartment building and the MSA annex. Future or current developments are the multifamily apartment buildings going on here at the east end of the property. It looks like they're getting close. They're making a lot of progress. Talk about working in the heat, these poor guys. They are working away every time we go down there, especially recently because we did install the payment equipment in Mercado for paid parking. Get to see the activity a lot, and they are hustling to get this project done. Additionally, a new project is at Linda and Congress. there's going to be a multi-family apartment buildings, and there's actually two projects going on in the area for that development. There's also a Congress Street safety construction project happening as well. So real quick, I'm just going to highlight what the project is. It's the Congress Street and Grande Avenue safety project. And essentially, it increases pedestrian safety walkability. It adds a bike lane on each direction of Congress in the area. So this is a website that that DTM has. It's part of Safe Streets, part of that proposition that was approved. And so essentially, it includes traffic calming. It's 0.7 miles long, connects three parks and two schools, Proposition 407. The intersection of Congress and Grande was identified as a safety project through a roadway assessment. And the project extends along Congress from Melrose on the west to Bonita on the east. There is concern from the neighborhoods that it didn't go far west enough, and another project is being set up to address the area west of this. The project is funded by Proposition 411 as well. So that will help with the street lighting, sidewalks, bicycle lanes, and such. So here we are in the area of the construction. You can see Menlo Park is impacted. So the timeline, we're getting close to, we're actually in project design right now. So we've gone through the first three items, which was approval, data collection, and public input. The team is currently approving the design. I'm not going to get into the real plans here, but just some visuals about what it's going to look like. Here's the additional bike lane, West St. Mary's Road to Congress. Same thing here. Promotes the special events or the community outreach that's happening. So as you can imagine, the neighborhood is wary of all the development and the new housing and what that brings, you know, to the area regarding traffic. So we are hearing them. Regarding the developments, let me see here. Oops. Sorry, let me just get to this. So the Congress and Linda apartments, I'm just going to go through a quick presentation. These are the two sites on both sides of Congress, north and south of Congress, multifamily large apartment buildings. Here's some renderings. You can see the locations here. This is the Sentinel, which is already a senior housing multifamily there. Just some photos. We're looking at quite a few residence units being added. I'm going to get to those numbers here soon. You know, what they had to study in the development, what the city requires is showing connectivity to our public transportation system, bicycle system, walkways, as well as, you know, the roadway system. So we're looking at all of that. And just the landscape plan, shade, trying to copy some of the older styles of the area. So they're trying to incorporate that a little bit. You can see the roof brings us back to the Spanish style. Okay, so with the concern from the neighborhood, and of course this is a typical request that we get from developers, there are requirements for specific amount of on-site parking spaces for developments. So for the first apartment complex, we require 1.25 parking spaces per unit. The first development has 67 units, so we require 131 spaces. That's 131 units an acre, which equals 84 spaces prior to any allowed reduction. So the developers typically try to ask the city for a reduction in parking in order to reduce costs and also to prove that there is already parking in the surrounding area that supplements it and transportation options. So there is a 21 space reduction allowed per 25% plan reduction. Five spaces are reduced for 33 additional long-term bike parking spaces. So we get to automatically do reductions there. So they lose 26, now they're required for 58. So out of 58 spaces required after our approved reductions, they are proposing 17 parking spaces, a 41 space relief request. In a recent meeting, and what happens is the city of Tucson, several departments get together, planning, transportation, parking gets involved. We review the individual parking plan requests. And in the last meeting that we discussed this, we are all in agreement that the reduction is very aggressive. It's too aggressive. And all indications are right now is that we will not approve a reduction like this. We need to see more parking on site to lessen the impact to the surrounding neighbors. So we're actually having another meeting about that today, and we have to get back to the developer soon with a response. So that was the Congress apartment. Here's the Linda apartment plan. So they have 77 units. They're required for 96. You take the long-term bike parking provided. They get a six space reduction for that for a total of 90 spaces. This development is asking for a reduction of 61 spaces to 29 total spaces. Also a very aggressive reduction, does not come across as suitable. What we're gonna do is ask the developer to prove how they can accommodate the residential traffic. We have to ask them, okay, so when you lease the apartments, are you going to make it clear to prospective tenants that there is reduced parking, you know, and what are the parking options? What are the impacts? Explain that, you know, and see where that goes. So you can see some surrounding areas that show some of the parking. Mercado is eventually planning to develop these two sites for additional parking. Right now they're dirt lots. A future four-story garage is supposed to go in the area to accommodate over 125. It's going to be more in the neighborhood of 300 to 400. It doesn't say that here. And there's also going to be a surface lot as well. So we do take a look at the spaces around it. We also look at approvals that we provided to other developments. So we'll look at Sentinel Plaza and see that, you know, we did not approve that aggressive of a reduction for them. So why should this development get a reduction but others don't? So in fairness, you know, that's what we look at. You can see the Bautista, which is the apartment building under construction now. 370 spaces were required for that. So I think that was close to a 1-to-1 ratio for that development. So, you know, they highlight the alternative modes of transportation. The great news is that the Sunlink streetcar comes down here. You have the bicycle loop, and of course the busing system goes through here as well. We talked about the type of proposed development. There's going to be bike share corrals as well, and this was just part of that presentation. So in addition to this, the neighborhoods of Menlo Park and Barrio Sin Nombre in this area, you know, during several neighborhood meetings, I was able to attend one of them recently. A lot of angst about this project, talking about traffic impacts in neighborhoods. Menlo Park and Barrio Sin Nombre are now interested in a residential parking program. they do fall within our boundaries for that program, so we are able to provide that. It was just information provided at this time. They have not officially requested a program, but it seems like Bonita is one block that's very interested in the program because of the location of the two new developments. So that's probably upcoming. The Mercado residents as well, this neighborhood, is also potentially interested in a residential parking program. We are able to provide that. This will be a modified program. It traditionally, you know, we look at the blocks and ask for a petition with a majority of you know, folks to sign up to that per block. The blocks aren't really, you know, typical in this area. They're kind of short. On-street parking's reduced. There are, I think each residence has one car garage. There's a tiny parking lot here, but we're going to look at the whole area as a whole for the petition request and ask for 75% of the residents to sign up in order to enact that program. So, you know, with that, that's just kind of a overview of the impacts that development has and the concerns about the neighborhoods. And just wanted to provide information about that. And I'll take any questions or guidance that you can provide.
Yeah, I mean, the amount of reduction is kind of staggering. Do they have any information? Do the developers have any information about typically what percentage of their residents have cars? I mean, I've got to think it's, you know, pretty high, but I wonder with our 77 units or whatever it is, we're expecting that to bring in 150 cars or 100 cars or whatever.
Yeah, that's definitely a question we're going to ask them. We have not heard that information at this time, but that's definitely going to come up at today's meeting. And, you know, I think what they're kind of leaning on is the public transportation options. So they probably do expect a reduced amount of cars. However, you know, we live in a car culture, especially in this town. Yeah. So you can't just hope that they're not going to bring cars and rely on bikes and buses and trains. So yeah, that's something, Janine, that we'll definitely ask them. How do they plan to come up with that number?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in reality, I know very, very few people, even if, you know, folks that live in these downtown apartment complexes, everybody's got a car still.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks.
Got it. Thank you.
That was my question as well, so.
Well, I will keep you posted as we progress with the IPP approval, the parking plan approval, and the development, and any residential parking requests that we get.
Thank you.
Got it. Let's see, the next item.
Student commuter?
Yes, student commuter parking program, 25-26 permit rates. So it's getting to be that time of year where Park Tucson looks forward to selling our student commuter, or sometimes we call non-residential parking. And I know that this is a non-residential parking program, but and I'm presenting to this committee because it does impact the neighborhoods. That's really where these parking spaces are. They're neighborhood adjacent or within the neighborhoods, but not located in front of residents. These are areas where there is some non-residential frontage, and we take advantage of that and sell some parking. So I'm going to just show you a map here of, oops, let's see. Well, I'll start with this. Sorry. This is the on-street parking permit program on our website. This is where we promote it. We also do some social media, posts about this. There's an application. And this is older information. We're going to update these dates, but they're generally around the same dates. We do have zones with different price ranges. Permits are sold both on an annual or semester basis. The permit starts August 1st and goes to July 31st, so you get a whole year no matter what for the annual, and you get a whole semester. We don't shorten it. We do open the sales to renewals first. I think that starts generally mid-July. JR can correct me if I'm wrong at any time here. We give the current permit holders pre-opening period to renew their permits. And I'm just going to show you the map here real quick. It's focusing around the U of A. And this is what our map looks like. So University of Arizona right in the middle here. And you can see all these blocks, with different zones. You'll see this is the current. The red indicates a sold permit. A green dot, I see one over here, represents a unsold permit with prices. So that's North University, which is a popular area. I'm just going to do this now. Go across campus here to the south, and you can see several more blocks. We didn't fully sell out this year, as you can see. We got close, but not quite. And, not exactly sure if that's a price elasticity point or just demand. The University of Arizona's permits are much more expensive than ours. So that definitely plays a role in the market. And just real quick, we do have zones in the downtown area. We just don't offer that many spots, but we do have pre-approved prices for zones here, as well as around on the west side of the university as well. And getting back to the pricing, these are our current rates. And the Marin Council back in 2024 provided Park Tucson with a cap on increases. To begin with, they approved an increase, and they put limits on our increases up to, I'm going to forget it right now. I know I have it somewhere else, but I think up to, $75 to $100, maybe even higher than that. So I think for the, Zone A, we're able to go up to $600. Zone B, we're able to go up to like $550 and so on down the line. Due to the, non-selling out of our spaces and price elasticity concerns, we're not going to take full advantage of the maximum increase that we are approved for. But we also don't want to just put a zero increase as well. We do want to increase. That's, across the board what's happening now, pretty much everywhere. But we're planning on a modest increase of $10. So add $10 to each of the zones here, and that's what our proposed rates are going to be for these student permits. So Zone A would go to $560, Zone B to $485, and so on. And once again, here's University of Arizona rates, for example. They have rates as high as $730, almost $500, $375, $610. So we are below. They do have some reduced prices here, but I believe these are even for a shorter term than ours. So annual permits go August 19th to the 15th, yeah, almost a year. Academic year permits go to May. So I think a lot of folks buy these academic year permits. And you can see how we compare to the U of A. And I just wanted to kind of discuss our approach to that and the $10 increase that we're planning. And we also offer semester permits, so we essentially just cut that annual number in half and offer those prices. OK, can see downtown costs there, and our policies and regulations and all that good stuff. And yeah, that's pretty much it for our permits. I'll take any questions, looking for any input on our pricing strategy.
I think $10 is perfect.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Yeah. Jared. No, I'm good with it too. Makes sense.
Thank you. Yeah, I didn't want to be too aggressive and didn't want to, you know, not increase it at all. Thank you. To the agenda here. Looks like we're pretty much at the end of our listed items. So, any future agenda items that you would like me to consider?
The only thing I was wondering is, you know, and next month will be the meeting before the school for TUSD starts back. And so I don't know if there's going to be any update on the parking around Tucson High and the middle school and all of that, if there's anything there that we need to talk about.
Thank you, Janine. Absolutely. I'll definitely put that on the agenda. Typically in July, Tucson Unified meets with the Department of Transportation in person. You know, we have a meeting and hash things out. I'm going to try to make inroads on, you know, new ideas, you know, and what generally happens, for example, last year, a lot of the ideas were, you know, relying on the school, you know, and they just don't have the money for it. The DTM is currently looking at, you know, several schools, safety improvements, traffic improvements, and I'll definitely try to summarize those, you know, for the group and provide that. But as of this, at this point, I don't have any, you know, huge ideas, for new ideas. But we are definitely open to discussing anything and open to new ideas. We know around Tucson High, you know, the residents are definitely impacted. We've heard that many times. And hopefully this year, the school gets a little more involved in traffic control. I know Tucson Police hits that hard. There is a new downtown lieutenant for Tucson Police Department. He knows about this situation and will be briefed on it. And hopefully we get some police support as well. As you know, the Park Tucson, if we go and try to enforce during the school pickup or drop-off time, it actually gets kind of dangerous for us with a kind of a mob mentality with the parents. So we don't really want to get into altercations. So yeah, there's a fine balance there. But I'll definitely get that on the agenda and provide updates for that meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I appreciate the support. If there's nothing else.
We are done.
All right. Thank you guys very much.
Take care.